Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast. Cousin Sal here, spaghetti and meatballs behind the glass, babyface Joel Solomon producing. And joining me as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss. I'm sorry I'm down. Down in the dumps. My streak is over, fellas. Picked 11 in a row, Thursday Night Football on Fox. Broncos were my 12th. They were awful. And then I look at it, and I'm like, I look at the schedule. I'm like, oh, come on, this is not going to go on forever. And then I really looked at the schedule. I'm like, well, why couldn't this have gone on forever? 17-14, shit game, shit team, Shaq. Damn it, it's over.
Listen, let's first of all, keep your chin up. Let's look on the near horizon. There are many winning bets. There are many winning bets out there. All you have to do is reach up and grab them like a dream. They're one of the stars in the sky. But let's celebrate what is in the near rear view mirror there, Cousin Sal. This was a great run. Let's be happy that it not be sad that it's over, but be happy that it happened. And now let's right together and get ready for a big weekend of college and pro football action. I can't wait. I'm sitting in a parking lot outside of LAX recording because I'm jumping on a plane to go to Big Ten country to watch the Indiana Hoosiers derail Ohio State's national championship dreams. And while I tailgate, I'll also watch Pitt consume Clemson on their inevitable path to the Final Four.
I wish I could be so excited about the weekend. Martin and I were talking before the show, before you pulled into, I don't know where you're doing this from.
I'm in Carl's Jr. I thought it would be a Mickey D's. But
But, you know, it was a good run. What was not a good run was that play that killed me, the Case Keenum play. Denver comes out, 8-minute drive. Teddy Two Gloves looks good. Looks like he got right, you know, second half. What happens? The Browns, the counter, they go right down the field. Then 4th and 4, Martin. He stood up. But I don't even think it was a great call by Stefanski because they
could. No, it wasn't.
They could go.
He's supposed to kick the field goal there. Like, you have a backup quarterback. You don't have any running backs. You don't have a right tackle. You're supposed to kick a field goal, take the points, call it a day so we can still have a chance to win this game as people who bet on the Broncos. However, like, the idea, whatever linebacker that was, that just sitting there and letting Case, Michael Vick, Keenum.
Just you stood him up.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And we see it every week. Quarterbacks just are outside of the pocket, and they just are allowed to run outside of the pocket. Just hit him in the chest. Just hit him in the chest.
That was the thing, guys. I just waited for. I was like, all right, Case Keenum has one mistake. He's got one mistake in him, right? And it never came. It just never got there. I know people are going to be like, oh, Baker could sit out. You know, Baker's done. Baker's canceled. He didn't even do anything. Well, I don't know about that. I think this Browns team is in a lot of trouble. More and more injuries. Odell Beckham Jr. does not even look like a wide receiver anymore. I'm not even sure how much more he plays on this team. But anyway, that was a loss. I hated it. I've won close games during the streak, so I can't complain too much. But there's nothing worse, Sheck, than when your team is getting run on. I don't know. Is the offensive line for the Browns the best in history? Because it seems like whoever they put in there, D'Ernest Johnson yesterday, went nuts. Anyone they threw, they handed off to, had 6 yards of carry.
Well, listen, it's pretty rudimentary stuff. The offensive line. Give me a high-end offensive line and a mediocre running back, then vice versa. You saw that once again with this. And I did say before the game, I thought the Browns would win it. And I know people feel like the sky is falling in Cleveland. And understandably, they better get Nick Chubb back or Kareem Hunt back. And I don't know what the status of Denzel Ward is. And now they're two fancy wide receivers and all of that. But as it happens, I'm not going to say what we have that big AFC North game to pick here coming up. The Bengals and the Ravens, but worst case, the Browns are right there. They have all 6 of their divisional games still upcoming. It's a good cautionary tale. Don't throw dirt on just about any of these pro football teams.
I don't know.
Only week 7, everyone.
Either of those teams. I don't think we're looking at a playoff team there.
But really? You don't think Cleveland?
Do you see how many people limped off the field for Cleveland last night?
It was a disaster.
They already had a pretty extensive injured reserve list. Odell, Jarvis, Baker's on the sideline, shaved. He's actually at home.
They could have lost, though. I'll say this, and we're talking about a team that won't play again until week 8. But what is they could have lost. Worst case, they could have lost to the Broncos, and then people really would be shedding some tears on behalf of the Browns. But their biggest stretch is upcoming here. They go Pittsburgh at home, then they have to play Cincy. You know, six divisional games, and then they go. It's funny, they straddle their bye with the Ravens, bye, then Ravens. I mean, it's all right there for the Browns, but Martin or Marty Weiss is correct, of course. They have to get healthy a little bit here.
Yeah, well, and also they barely beat the Broncos, so I don't know. There's a lot of hope in that. Well, whatever, we'll see. We'll see who comes back from injury. But speaking of injury, to add insult to injury, Eddie Spaghetti, nice guy, set me up with the producer from Fox, the local Fox.
Well, you're married, man.
Yeah,
you're getting set up on things. No, what are you doing?
I've lost my mind. No, he set me up. Whatever happens, happens. But as it is, I just sat in with the fellas, Vince Ferragamo and Jackie Slater, and the local Fox post-game sports roundup. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what they call it. Anyway, to add insult to injury, Jackie Slater called me Cal the whole time. So I was like, great. This is a good – what a good
day. Wait, why?
Why? I don't know.
Cal.
He just thought
it was Cal. Sal just didn't stick.
I thought you said Cal, like C-O-W.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The booing milk making beast.
He might as well have. I don't, maybe, is that short for Cousin Sal? Is that how we're going? Whatever. What a disaster. Hey, we got Matt Hasselbeck's coming up.
Ooh.
He's going to jump on with us. And I'm going to ask him how it felt to lose the Super Bowl, how he dealt with it. Not that it compares to losing after losing, picking 11 straight after that, but it's similar, I guess, right, Check?
Well, listen, long ago, he came on a radio show that I was on, and I said to him, and I meant it sincerely, that I said, you know, you're the only guy in that entire Seahawks organization that isn't pointing at the referees and making excuses, and for some reason, he took that the wrong way and got a little angry with me about
that. Well, we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again. Yeah, because I did some research on this, and there were not just the one play everyone points. There's like five questionable calls.
What do you mean? No, everybody always does the collection of, oh, every call went the Steelers' way. Yeah, there's a good reason for that. They were all the correct call.
No, they were cheating for the home crowd. Oh, you had 80%, including you. You were in attendance that night. The referee, the head of officials, takes off to Costa Rica right after the game. I'm going to call foul here. I'm going to call foul on all the fouls here.
He must testify. He cannot hide. He must answer the salpina that is being thrown his way right now.
You know, it's like when David Chase went to France after the last episode of The Sopranos. Like, whoa, what the hell? Can't do this. You got to go on Oprah. You got to go, you know, Geraldo Rivera needs to sit down with you and get it out of you. What? Did Tony die or not? Hey, check out.
It was such a great time because I sat there in that Detroit stadium where Jerome Bettis is from, as it turns out.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys heard about that.
Of course. Yeah. adds to the allure. This is why we have to make the Steelers win. Go ahead.
I sat next to one Jessica Alba. We sat knee to knee, you know, biting our fingernails until Fast Willie Parker busted it and kind of put the game not out of reach, but that was the decisive play in Super Bowl 40.
Then Dave Martin, stood up and cheered, and Jessica Alba was just like, thank goodness Dave is no longer touching my knee. I had just moved to Detroit when that Super Bowl.
That was a cold freaking week. We were there for Kimmel. We did a week of shows, Jimmy Kimmel Live out there in Detroit. Snow, crazy. We didn't stay. We discussed this, Martin. We stayed in Southfield, Michigan, which was, I don't know, it seemed like 45 minutes by the time we got on the bus.
Southfield's not. Southfield's strong 248 representing Southfield, Michigan. It borders Detroit, but where you were staying is anywhere probably from 20 to 35 minutes from the heart of the city, depending on traffic.
We had
I used to live in West Bloomfield, Michigan, which is actually 45 minutes away from Detroit.
All right.
I'd like Marty Weiss to answer for all
ironically enough, Michiganders. There's probably 45 people minimum in West Bloomfield, Michigan actually named Marty Weiss.
Is that right? Why?
Oh, yeah. It's everybody I would know named Marty Weiss, I would go and meet them. Or not meet them, but see them at like the deli when I go get a corned beef sandwich. That's where the Marty Weisses would be.
That's, you're making a joke, though. But there's like one other guy named Martin Weiss.
No. Martin, I don't know. I can't speak on. But like Marty and Weiss is.
He's saying stogie smoking old Jewish fellas eating matzo ball soup.
I know what you're saying. I'm telling you. The fact that you met more than one.
Several. I say 45 is exaggeration, but definitely more than
you
one.
You must answer
my age group.
You must answer for the fraudulence of people in Detroit who claim they say Detroit style pizza, which is square thick pizza with sauce on the top, and be like, "Oh, it's Detroit style pizza." Yeah, it's also Sicilian style pizza. And I'm not a wizard when it comes to world history, but I'm almost positive Sicily preceded Detroit. Man's recorded history, right?
All I know is I'm going to be watching football this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, and I will not see any commercials for Sicilian-style pizza, and I will see a ton for Detroit. So
doesn't make it right, and it wasn't right that after that Super Bowl victory, we jumped on a red-eye the entire Kimmel show and flew back to L.A. at 3 a.m., and I had to wake up and do a 6 a.m. radio show. I didn't have to wake up. I was doing the all-nighter, of course. I was trying to get a 20-minute nap in before doing a 6 to 10 a.m. radio show, and that was derailed by Sal sending over a 50-something-year-old stripper on roller skates 30,000 feet in the sky.
Hold on. I believe she was in her 60s. Give me some credit here. And we hadn't given you the proper bachelor party. You were getting married, so maybe you were already married. I don't know. I think it was a post-mortem thing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was a pox on the wedding. Thank
you.
There you go. It cursed the entire marriage.
It's Marty Weiss's girlfriend, probably.
Right. Martin, maybe if they started putting French fries on this Detroit-style pizza, Dave would come aboard, but who knows?
I don't know. Dave would say, what do you mean, French fries? They're not even from France. They originated in America.
I love Sicilian-style pizza. Believe me, I'm first in line.
I love American fries. They're the best.
Crunchy, airy dough. All right, I'm going to try this again. Check out the Extra Points Arcade, extrapoints.com/arcade. Free-to-play games, our NFL pick'em. We have our prop quiz. We got lots going on. Yes, free prizes. Of course, the prizes are free. Imagine if we made you pay for prizes. We don't do it. Extrapoints.com/arcade. NFL, let's look ahead to the biggest games. As far as I can tell, there are two. Chiefs-Titans, Ravens-Bengals. But before we do that, we are going to do week 7 in a minute. Now, we did this last week. Now, babyface Joel Solomon, how many did we get? I think we put the over-under at 3.5 games we would actually get to. And we covered, I think, 7. Is that right?
It was six.
It was six? Okay. All right. So let's try to do better here. And like I said, we'll go into those other two games in more detail. But for now, I'm going to read the game and the spread. And Martin, you go first. And then Dave, you go second. Who you're picking. Let's do it. Starting now, Ravens -6.5, home for the Bengals. I like the Bengals. Letdown game for the Ravens.
Ravens, Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow is next on the list of Ravens quarterback opposing Ravens quarterbacks to go down.
I mean, we didn't need all that detail. This is we're trying to quick pick Marty Weiss, and then you start in with the Mahomes, this and that.
Oh boy,
I'm taking the Bengals.
All right, Carolina at New York Giants. Carolina -3. I'm going Sammy D at MetLife Stadium. He gets his mojo back.
In the Harry versus Eddie Spaghetti Bowl, I'm going with Sam Darnold.
Panthers next. It's all Panthers all weekend. Let's
Green
go
Bay.
Pit.
Green Hail Bay Pitt. -7.5 over Washington. I am taking Green Bay. They are a juggernaut on big spreads against crappy teams. They cover easily.
I'm taking the Pack as well.
Packers.
Kansas City -4.5 at Tennessee. Another big letdown game for Tennessee. After playing Monday night short week, I'm going Kansas City.
King Henry, give me the Titans.
4.5 now. Wow. All right. I'm going. I'm going to stick with the Titans here.
All right. We went over here. All right. So we got to what did we get to? 3.5 games. I don't even think I.
Well, that's Marty Weiss's fault.
Oh, Mom went crazy.
There
went
you
nuts
go.
With that. All right. Let's stay with this. Let's stay with this Kansas City-Tennessee game. 4.5. Yeah, you're right, Chuck. Well, because it was 6, right? Mm-hmm. And it's gone down. The FanDuel.com/extra points. That's where you get all your sports gambling action. 4.5. All right, so I touched on it a little bit. And this is what Harry calls the tri-bicuspid. Now, Harry's an imbecile, my friend Harry, as we know. But his thing is
Hoagie Barra.
That's right. We had a bunch of hockey names. We went crazy with the Harry names. But the Bills beat the crap out of the Chiefs. The Titans beat the Bills. So you would think that the Titans would beat the Chiefs. No, the tri-bye cuspid tells you that the Chiefs will beat the Titans. Now, I'm not really going, I don't know why it's the bicuspid. I get the tri part. There's three teams involved, maybe even the bye, B-I, because there were two games we're comparing. But the cuspid thing, I'm not sure. Maybe we do. Maybe he meant custard. I don't know what it is. But short week, that secondary is decimated for the Titans. I just think Mahomes names his score here. And Chiefs rush defense, not as bad as people might think. 133 yards per game, but the last two or three games, they've done better. I like the Chiefs here. You never love them to cover, but this is kind of their zone of where they cover on the road between 4 and 6 points.
Yeah, I'm taking the Titans. That Chiefs runs defense, I know what you just said, is not as bad as it. But the thing about the Tennessee Titans, when you look at the way that they played in the second half, Derrick Henry ripped off some big runs, but it was more about their ability to move the ball through the air because, like, everybody was worried about Derrick Henry ripping off big runs. The right. Titans are going to be able to control the ball in this game. Both Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are on an injury report. And if those two guys at any point in time go down, it will cancel Christmas for Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
Well, that's big news. Cancel Christmas.
I'm just saying, or Hanukkah, if you're of that persuasion. But is that, you know, I just don't see the Chiefs being able to stop the Titans on offense. And if the Chiefs' offense is not the juggernaut that it once was, even though they just went out against Washington and then really ran it up.
All right, Jack, you with me? Well, or with Martin.
I do think, I mean, too much has been made about this. The league has figured out Mahomes jazz, but he is throwing some picks. It's more an issue, and it continues to be with the defense. Side note to what Marty Weiss mentioned there with the pass catchers. I think Mahomes, it's something that we've been talking about for the last couple few weeks here. They need to figure out a third target there. We'll see if Josh Gordon emerges at any point. Meantime,
yeah, what happened
anytime,
to him?
Anytime. A few years, even like a decade or
no,
so.
No, but he's at least a couple of weeks. Like,
you're right.
I guess it takes some time.
Did he? I didn't even look after the game. Did he catch a ball? Even did he get a target last week? He got one in the first quarter.
He definitely
2 weeks
had
ago.
Two targets.
Oh, he did. I will say, anytime touchdown, a good little side play is Mecole Hardman. I think that they need to figure out how to start jamming the ball into somebody besides those top two. This is the week to do it against a pretty dicey back end for the Tennessee defense. I hear you. Now it's down to 4.5, man. I really am tempted to go to KC, but as you mentioned, they rarely cover. I like Derrick Henry beating them up. The question is now Julio Jones back in practice on Thursday. At the time of this recording, I don't know if A.J. Brown's going to play. But if those two guys are right, they should torment the KC defense.
Mm. All right. Well, I'm going to have the Chiefs on Moneyline Parlay. We're going to get to our pups of the week in a minute. But it really just seems like there's a lot of favorites. Like, are the Ravens going to win? Are the Packers going to win? Are the Chiefs going to win? And then the Patriots. And those monster favorites, Rams over Detroit, Tampa over Chicago, Arizona over the Texans.
Those can't all come true. Three team teaser, Sal. This is your ballywick. Is this where we go? Because certainly one of those at least ain't going to come through. This is pro football after all. You know who I'm looking at? The team that probably ends up hoisting the Lombardi when it's all said and done. The Buccaneers. That's a huge number for them to be throwing out.
And one of their last losses, right, against the Bears, 12.5 home against Chicago. It was a good defense. Yeah, I'm taking the points there. That was the one when Tampa put up the four. He almost convinced the refs that it was fourth down and not fifth down, but
that's right.
Not quite.
That's right.
But to your point, Shaq, about the last time we had like three big, super big spreads like this was week two, and Tampa covered their big spread. They only covered they covered me teasing it up 7, and they won by 23 points.
You needed the teaser, though, for that to hit, all three of those to hit. Thank goodness we floated that, because that margin provided by the 10 points was necessary, I think, for Cleveland, if memory serves.
Yep. All right, Ravens-Bengals. Sheck, I know you're all over this game. I'm going to take the Bengals plus the 6.5 points. I might be playing the zag the wrong way. Martin and I had the Lions over the Bengals last week as our pup of the week, and the Bengals went out. I mean, we didn't have for a minute we weren't in that game. I mean, it was terrible. They went out there. Now, my whole thing is Joe Burrow. This is a dumb analysis, but if he can get through a game, they have a chance in every single game, right? Do they, how protected do they leave him? How unprotected is that offensive line when they go up against the Ravens front seven? Ravens look great against the Chargers. I was the only one. Lone Wolf here at the 11 extra points talent. I was the only one to have them. But I think they let down just a bit, and I like the Bengals plus the points. Martin and then Sheck, because I know, Sheck, you have bigger plans for this game.
Yeah, I like the Ravens, actually. I think if we think about it, Sheck alluded to it earlier, Mahomes, the league, figured him out. Well, the team that would have figured him out would have been the Baltimore Ravens, right? That was when everybody was like, oh, my God, Lamar Jackson can – I mean, not Lamar Jackson, but oh, my God, Mahomes can throw a September interception? Go figure, right? All of Twitter went nuts. Mm-hmm. And then you saw what they just did to Justin Herbert in that offense. I really do feel like Joe Burrow is next on the list. I think that we have to stop, like, this Baltimore team. They've been getting by kind of like in weird ways, but when you look at Cincinnati, they're not going to keep tight ends to help block. They're not going to keep running backs in to help block. Baltimore's going to blitz, right? That's like the most common thing ever. And if Joe Burrow gets hit, which he will, and if he gets hurt, which he has a few times this year, it's going to be the Ravens, and the Ravens will be able to run the ball on the Bengals. And even though the Bengals' defense has really been how they've been winning games, they haven't given up. I think the most points they've given up was 27, and that was in overtime. But I like the Ravens to win a low-scoring game. But, like, generally, when the Ravens are a favorite, I feel like they kind of beat up on teams too. So I see this being like a 10-point win.
All right, Sheck, there's your moment to shine. 3-1 right. against the spread in the last four against Zach Taylor, the Ravens are. But?
First of all, the Chargers game last week against Baltimore in Charm City was the anomaly. Don't worry, this happens to even 21st century juggernaut teams. They get whipped for whatever reason, and you feel they're fraudulent.
It's not whatever reason. Their run defense is bad, and it has been. It's not just one week. So I know, any you team keep, has a chance.
You keep pointing to that, and you're absolutely right.
As long as they're in that 32nd spot for run defense, I will keep pointing to it.
I can't provide much pushback, much like the Chargers run defense on that. I still have them going to the Super Bowl. Nevertheless, I think that performance from the Ravens was the anomaly, even though they're 5-1 and looking great and a Super Bowl contender and all of that. That's the weird result. Go back through the remainder of what they've done through the first third of the season. I think as they're human beings, and as an empath, I can relate to what they're doing. It feels like the Ravens keep having big time games against big time opponents. At some point, they're going to slip up. I think I think that the Bengals come out with a sense of, you know, we've arrived kind of thing. They almost had that moment against the Packers a couple of weeks ago. I think they get over the hump this week, and I think they make the AFC North awfully juicy going forward with the Browns right there and a big one coming up with Pittsburgh paying a visit to them next week. And I think it's about to get really exciting in that great division.
Check, are you willing to make that your pup of the week? You won last week. You had the Raiders over the Broncos. Like I said, Martin and I just
that's 3 out of 5 at minimum. I'm pretty not good. Sure, but I've given you 3 pups correctly.
We each pick an underdog of +150 or more, and this certainly qualifies if you're going Bengals over the Ravens.
Congratulations, everybody. If you're within the sound of my voice, I got great news for you. I got a chance for you to make some easy money. Cincinnati Bengals over the Baltimore Ravens on the money line. Sure, you could play them, take the points. But you know what? That's just surviving. You want to live? Bet the money line and the cats. Pop of the week, cats. Make sense of it. I don't have time for it.
I do want to caution you. I made that same joke. When we, Martin and I, took the Bengals over the, I'm sorry, we took the Lions over the Bengals, I said my pup of the week is a cat. And I don't know if it's an omen, but I don't know.
We do appreciate all the extra point listeners who hit us up, the helpy helpers out there with actual information about who would win in a lion versus a Bengal tiger fight. It turns out that the Bengal tiger would win. It seems like the collective wisdom is that the tiger would win. We don't need to go down that rabbit hole.
I love the surprise that Martin was correct. Up. That's really, you know, the surprise and shock in your voice that Martin was correct. You know, hear me now, believe me later. It's okay.
I know. We were correct with everything but the pick itself. All right, but Bengals +220. That's a nice, hefty, juicy underdog there. All right, Martin, I'll let you go. What's your pup of the week?
I'm taking, it's +160, right? I'm taking the Colts. as my pup of the week. The Indianapolis Colts.
Plus 176 now.
Yep. So, well, I'm saying the threshold was plus 160.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
plus 176 qualifies. Yep. I said on Wednesday, I think the Colts are due for a run. I think that run is about to start right here. I don't really care who's playing quarterback for the 49ers. The Colts played a pretty solid defense. As long as Carson Wentz doesn't turn the ball over, I think Jonathan Taylor's going to have another big day.
See, I like this too. Why are you laughing? I like this too.
It's a fun asterisk to throw in on something like, well, as long as Carson Wentz doesn't turn the ball over. That's that's like, this offense is really doing great stuff. It's a shame with the turnovers because the offense was really humming otherwise. Like, yeah, well, that's part of the offense is turning the ball over. But all right, I get you. It's an interesting spot. I like it, but the Niners know that their season is in peril. So yeah. I feel like they got to have this one.
I like the fact that they're not expected to score a zillion points, the 49ers. So that'll keep the Colts in it. And like Martin says, you could limit the turnovers, Carson Wentz. I do like what I saw of that offense. It would have been three in a row had they held on to beat the Ravens, right? They would have been clicking all cylinders. Now, a team that's not clicking, you're not going to like this, guys. But we can't have all favorites winning. Like I said, those three big favorites, everyone loves the Ravens, everyone loves the Packers, everyone loves the Chiefs, and everyone loves the New England Patriots. And it's a mistake. It's a mistake, I tell you. The Jets.
Wow, no way.
I get it. They've lost 11 in a row against New England. It's a must win. The Patriots, this would be their fifth home loss. It's a rematch with week two. Wilson threw four picks, three in a row, I think, at some point early. And, you know, Belichick could throw all these crazy, weird schemes at him defensively. But let's remember that game. The Jets held the Patriots to 260 yards of offense. They were 3 of 12 on third down. Why is this such a sure thing? Why the Patriots are not, they're not going to go out there and score 40. And here's the thing about the Jets. They beat Derrick Henry and the Titans. Why can't they beat the Patriots? I don't think this Patriots team is good. That's why I was going to be so upset if the Cowboys blew that game. I think this is a junk team. I think a lot hangs on the coach and the history and all that. But they have 11 turnovers this year. They're getting punts blocked. You know, there's strip sacks. Their running backs are fumbling. The Jets come hungry. Not only do they cover, they are going to win this game. And we're going to see why Zach Wilson went ahead of Mac Jones. 20-16, Jets, plus 245. Go ahead. Kill me now. Kill me with this. Bad pick?
That's just a level of incredible I wasn't ready for. I thought 7 was too high. I teased New England down with Green Bay to try to, you know, to get a little New England money line, Green Bay 2.5, you know, teaser action going. I don't necessarily think that New England's going to cover, but the idea that I would just pick the New York Jets to win two games in a row, Sal?
Why are the I get it, but they're off the bye, right? Why are the Titans a less impressive feat than the Patriots at this point? Shaq, right? Can't Zach Wilson have the ball in the fourth quarter with a chance to win?
Well, if I buy your premise, then I can see the Jets winning the game. And your premise is that the Patriots are not mediocre. It's that they suck, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's
what you're saying. And, you know, we looked, you know, in the moment of the end of the 2020 season, you kind of looked at the Patriots and said, man, things got bad for them when Cam got COVID and they just never really rebounded. But all in all, not terrible. Well, they finished 7-9, right? And it was like, yeah, they weren't as bad as painted. It just wasn't to the New England state, the Belichick standard. And I wonder why. Did anything change between 19 and 20?
I think it's worse this year. And by the way, I had them as a
player. I don't know how that could be, though. What's interesting, and we talked about it on -3 with Kevin Hench, and if you're right that the Jets win this game outright, I have a feeling Kevin Hench might have things to say. He might complain.
No.
Eddie Spaghetti and me next week about it.
It's everything close to the vest.
A fun what if is, or a curious one is, do you think if Belichick had to do it again, that he still takes Mac Jones in that spot? Because they might be better off running with Cam Newton. I feel like all the free agent moves were to sort of play a big eight offense with number one under center. And now once they got Mac Jones in there and they liked it, what he was doing and everything, they felt like, well, now we got to turn the keys over to this kid. I wonder if that's going to loom as a mistake for them.
I don't think he's the problem. I mean, he's fine. You know, shows some flashes of brilliance, but it's the whole team. It's just any other team now, I think, with the turnover.
Well, Hench is out on him, man. Kevin Hench, beloved or Boston sports lover, of course, has now decreed that Belichick is old and the game has passed him by. People have turned quick.
And he knows
Patriots
he doesn't
team.
Have the horses. That's why he's not going for it on fourth and two.
I just want to know, how good are the Cowboys then? Because this team that you just said, the Jets, the New York Football Jets, are going to beat on Sunday, was in overtime with the New England Patriots.
Oh, you can't. Don't get into that hairy jive of looking at
Cowboys
looking
out
week to week results.
They had 200 more yards.
That.
They had 200 more yards, and yeah, I'm not counting the minus 20 that. Trayvon Diggs provided with the interception return for the touchdown. That's 200 more yards, and we're counting the Bourne touchdown, 75 yards. So they beat him up. It sucked that the Patriots, you could say they blew the game because they were in position to win, but Cowboys.
The thing that to me makes me pause before I say, yes, this is a get-right game for the Patriots, is coming off the bye. Does the rookie Zach Wilson, was that a chance for him to gather himself mentally and figure things out a little bit, looking at film, and maybe that's the opportunity. But, you know, I know that Davis Mills lit up Belichick and therefore disrupted the thing of Belichick versus rookie quarterbacks. I'm inclined to think Belichick gets back to that and takes All right. care of Zach Wilson. I think they win that game by double digits.
Wow.
The Patriots.
Okay. All right, I'm sticking.
I don't think they're
this.
World beaters, but I just think that they're, you know, I think that this is a game that they should be able to take care of.
It just, I watched the game, and not even because Tom Brady's not there, it just doesn't seem like a Patriots team. I'm just feeling like I'm watching a bottom third team like anybody else, and they can't get it done. And they were lucky to be close with the Cowboys. All right, we did this last week. I hit on this. Jonathan Taylor was 16-1 to lead the Sunday running backs in rushing, and he had like 145, I think. Good job by him. I'm going again with a 16-1. Aaron Jones. We haven't seen a ton at Aaron Jones. He went for a 103 against the Bengals a couple weeks ago. The football team allows 114 per game on the ground. By the way, they're last in passing yards. Can you imagine what happened to this defense? Last in passing, the Washington football team, but 114 a game on the ground. Packers, I think, get a big lead early. They pound Aaron Jones. We'll have closer to 19 to 21 carries and 158 rushing. What do you think? What's your wide receiver quarterback or running back leader of the week?
Go ahead, Marty. Go ahead, Marty Weiss.
All right. I'll go with my quarterback of the week is one John Matthew Stafford going back to Detroit, or Detroit's coming out here rather to L.A. He's going to throw a party. He's going to throw absolute party.
Wow. All right. Are we invited to that party? I mean, we're around here, right? We should go to that.
It is right down the street. I should call my buddy, right? Yeah, but no, it's that's plus 850, Matt Stafford to have the most passing yards on Sunday.
All right. Shaq?
I love that because it's really fascinating to me that the idea that where Sean McVay is, because he said, I mishandled the Goff departure. So he probably wants to take it easy on the kid, you know, a little bit. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, Matthew Stafford probably wants to hang one on the Lions, and McVay is in charge of what happens in either direction. So it'll be curious to see how that turns out. I'm going to go with Eddie Spaghetti made a great point on -3 yesterday that when I look at two bum teams playing each other, I kind of move on to the next game and try not to wager any loot on it. The Falcons and Dolphins, but the Dolphins coming off the trip to London, they don't even give them a week off. Disrespectful. Meantime, the Falcons got a week off. Calvin Ridley's back. I think that that's a sneaky great play, the Falcons over the Dolphins head to head. But I also like Calvin Ridley coming back plus 1,200. Number two, Matt Ryan. Reminds everybody that that he still is a pretty good quarterback. In fact, he's been doing it for the last couple of weeks now. Give me Matt Ryan throwing the ball to Calvin Ridley.
All right, that's a fun one.
Kyle Pitts also has a big game, so now they're going to fixate the Dolphins a little bit on the emerging rookie tight end. This opens things up a little bit for Calvin Ridley, who's been quiet by his standards so far.
By the way, they do ask every team if they want the bye after London, and some turn it down. So it's not it's not a league thing. They go out. I don't know why anyone would turn it down, but I guess this would be an early You know, I don't even know when the Dolphins buy is, but this might seem too early.
Well, there's great news though on that, on the Dolphins front. Brian Flores, because all the news about Deshaun Watson getting traded, Flores said, "No, Tua's our quarterback." So that settles that, and we never have to think about it again. So that's not going to happen. The coach said it, so why would he? Why?
When Matt Hasselbeck comes on. Actually, he's in the waiting room. Let's bring him on. Hey, FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every NFL game day. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay, three legs or more. If your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Yes, I don't know whether you like the Ravens or the Bengals. How about Lamar over rushing yards, Lamar to score a touchdown, and the Ravens to cover? That's a three-leg parlay. That fits our same game parlay description. You'll get better odds than just taking the Ravens spread or the money line. Do it. Fast payouts within 2 hours. Easy to use, safe and secure. It's America's number one sports book. And if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, they're also offering a risk-free $1,000 bet. If you prefer that, just sign up with promo code Extra Points. If your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code Extra Points. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text Next Step to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat for Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER. Or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan. The Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia. And check us out in Connecticut. FanDuel, yes, in Connecticut. We're live. Easy to use and navigate. Do it. FanDuel.com/extra points. All right, our guest today led the Seattle Seahawks to the Super Bowl, and then the refs did their thing, and his team unfortunately lost. But on Monday night, he will be a big winner as he's rightfully and finally inducted into the Seahawks Ring of Honor. You can see him on ESPN Sunday NFL Countdown every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Matt Hasselbeck, thanks for being here.
Hey, that's quite an introduction. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, and well, it's a big night, Monday, Ring of Honor. You don't have to wear those terrible color rush jerseys, right? You can bring any of your jerseys hanging in your closet.
I would love to. You know, they do give me a sport coat for this thing. If it's a color rush sport coat, it'd be kind of probably be pretty fly, actually. I don't know if I could rock it, but I'm sure it would look good.
Yeah, that's going to be great. The crowd will be going nuts. 12th man. We were talking the other day, Dave and I were discussing, maybe Martin, we were discussing how there is a lack of bald quarterbacks in the NFL, and that you may be the best one of all time. I don't know that this will be mentioned in the Ring of Honor ceremony, but I'm telling you, I'm talking about it right now.
I mean, best looking for sure. You know, like I think that one of my main regrets in life and definitely in my football career is that I held onto my hair too long. The problem was for us is that my backup quarterback or the guy that was, competing with at the time was Trent Dilfer, who was already bald.
Right.
Our punter was Jeff Fiegels, who was bald. Our captain on special teams, Isaiah Kazavinsky, the linebacker from Harvard, he was bald. Our equipment guy that we hung out with, he was like, we would have just looked like this, I don't know, like a biker gang or something. Yeah. So I went with the old man cul-de-sac look, hold on too long. It was a terrible look, but I just wasn't really sure. It's that in-between stage. You're never really sure what to do with your hair.
Yeah. It was like Breaking Bad reboot in Seahawks camp that year. Yeah. For sure.
More dignified, though, because you say held on to your hair, but maybe the greatest bald quarterback is Terry Bradshaw, but he literally could hold on to his hair because he took it off before and after ball games. So
that's interesting. He's got the Super Bowl ring, so that's good.
That's true.
There's a picture in the NFC Championship game. I remember I had a hat on, and Terry Bradshaw is presenting the Halas Trophy at the on the podium there. And at that point, I was like a little insecure about my baldness, right? And I was definitely like, and Terry Bradshaw, classic Terry Bradshaw style, just like rips my hat off and puts his right cheek of his face next to my left cheek of my face, and like we're doing this like amazing like bald is beautiful type photo, and I started getting endorsement deals for like all these you know, like head shaving products.
Oh, that's great.
You know, right. During Super Bowl week. But I was super paranoid that it was like all a ploy to get like real slick, like slippery, like baby oil type substances on my hands. And so I wouldn't touch it before the Super Bowl. I was like, oh, this is a trick. It's a Trojan horse. It's a Steeler fan doing this to me or something. And years later, now I use the product to shave my head. But I was so paranoid for the Super Bowl.
I didn't know if I was going to bring this up because, but now that we spent so much time talking about the fact that you're bald, I feel obligated to do so. I grew up in New Orleans. I'm a New Orleans Saints fan. So when y'all won the division at 79, that was like, I irrationally hated you, Marshawn Lynch, all of it. But it made me so much more upset and has ruined balding athletes for me going forward now. Like Alex Caruso. I could not see him and think he was like a good basketball player or anything because the whole time I was watching you just throw a party on the Saints. I was like, this guy doesn't even have hair. He's bald. Do something. And to this day now, people will be watching the game and guy be going bald. A guy will be balding. And they're like, get his bald ass out of here. People are like, what do you have against bald people? Wow. And I'm thinking about it. It's Matt freaking Hasselbeck.
Well, it's an unathletic look, you know, if you don't shave it all the way. Like, I think the best example for me right now is Hunter Renfrow of the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, that dude is a killer in the slot. That dude is like uncoverable at times. Then he gets to the sideline and takes his hat off, his helmet off, and you're like, huh? What? You're the guy we can't cover? It's like a pickup basketball game at lunch or something to get some guy with a knee sleeve on and he's bald. You just don't you're surprised.
Yeah, usually the bald guy wears his sock who doesn't shave it all the way clean, also pulls his socks up to his knees and he defends you 27 feet from the rim, like right in your face. He's all over. You're like, settle down, fella. Now the patron saint for people like me who have the flesh yarmulke in the back.
Yeah, the sunroof.
Right. Manu Ginobili. You know, he was that. Like, I always thought, man, maybe you just take that thing off because that ain't looking – that does not look very tough on an NBA playoff floor.
By the way, it's impressive. I think like bald guys everywhere, balding guys, you know, male pattern baldness. When they see like Ginobili like balling out there, it's kind of like, all right, yeah, that's like my new favorite guy. I remember looking up to Jason Kidd, you know, Cal Ripken Jr. You know, I loved every Bruce Willis movie, Woody Harrelson, Michael Jordan. You know, just the list goes on and on.
The Rock, of course.
You know,
Well, I think, and this may be where you thought Martin was going with this, with Drew Brees, who he now mysteriously has hair on television. And this didn't happen to you, Matt, when you turned your career to TV. This happened, like Brian Urlacher did it too, right? Like, is this a surprise to you? Do you feel like this is like when short people wear lifts? It's like, whoa, you're cheating here to get an acting role. I know it was a big thing on Seinfeld.
Yeah. I'm going to sit this one out. That's I don't know that I'm ready to really process it. You know, like, you know, Urlacher, Wes Welker, there's some of these guys like I'm not ready to, you know, I don't know. And what are they? I guess the question is, what do they feel about me and my baldness? You know,
resentful,
you know, I don't know.
You and Ed Harris, you're virally masculine because you're not worrying about it. Like those Bane guys are.
Well, I would say this. I think one of the best looking bald guys, ironically, is Jason Witten. You know, and Jason Witten, you know, I don't know what happened there for a second, but I think he looks awesome the way he is right now. So anyway, shout out to Jason Witten for looking good right now.
That's nice. That's nice. I want to say now that the Manning cast has been so successful, have you gone to the executives at Bristol and say, hey, how about a Hasselbeck brothers little duet here?
I actually like sitting on my own couch with a red Solo cup, watching the Manning cast. So I don't need cameras. I sort of like being off during the games, but you know, maybe someday I've done a mega cast for the wild card game last year. Mm-hmm. It was the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson against Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, and the Tennessee Titans.
That's right.
And it was an interesting dynamic because it was like rotating people. So it was Rex Ryan, Teddy Bruschi. It was like super great. But we also had Keyshawn Johnson sort of hosting it. And, you know, I felt like Keyshawn was more like an expert as a football player more so than like a host. So I think like it would have been really, really fun if like we all had beverages and food, but we were in a studio and kind of like had to go to commercials,
they sterilize it.
Yeah, it was fun. But I think Peyton and Eli are doing an awesome job.
Well,
I think
I'll tell you Eli's what, how about this? I would watch a simulcast of you and Tim with the red cups watching Peyton and Eli. Like I would even watch that. I think that's fun. But,
you know what? I just really like, we know Peyton's personality, but I don't think a lot of people have really seen the real version of Eli, you know, because he's so buttoned up and measured. And my dad was actually teammates with Archie Manning in 1984, the Minnesota Vikings. We were like 3-13 that year. Not great football necessarily, but great youth football at practice. I can promise you that, with Cooper Manning, Peyton Manning, and those guys. But just knowing their personalities, they're actually very, very funny guys. So I'm glad that that's starting to come out and people get to see that side of them.
Oh, for sure.
I think the red solo cup thing is curious to me. So are you having a kegger at the house? You're Matt Hasselbeck. You don't have a fancy glass mug to drink your booze out of?
I like the mystery. I like the mystery of it. You know, there's a lot of judgment in what you decide to drink, but I'm a calorie counter right now, you know? So, you know, like is a seltzer, like how are people going to feel about me drinking a seltzer? You know? So like, if a red solo cup needs to be my friend, it'll be my friend.
Oh, interesting.
All right. Now, you maybe not want to talk about this, but it's too bad. I know who wasn't your friend many years back in that Super Bowl. Dave's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but I did a deep dive. I remember the game, of course, but I went an hour and a half on this. I have to ask, which of the 17 blown calls against the Seahawks in Super Bowl 40 was your least favorite?
Well, I'm not going to blame the officials for that Super Bowl, but the turning point for me in that game was the holding call. We had the ball and threw a pass to Jeremy Stephens on the 1 yard line, and we called a holding call on our right tackle. And you know, I think it was Clark Hagen's got a great jump, or too good of a jump, but he got a great jump. We got a holding call, and that really turned the tide of the game. And learning lesson for me, you know, we had the best goal line back in football in Sean Alexander. We really know we would have scored in that situation, but instead I lost my cool. Like I absolutely lost my cool. And the very next play, the clock's running down on the play clock. I have not recovered from my anger. You know, the play clock's like 40 seconds or whatever it is. And I have not recovered. And in anger, like I throw the ball where I, you know, just in a frustration, and it gets intercepted. And that was really the turning point of the game. And I did get called for a penalty on my tackle, which is unfortunate, but that was the turning point in the game. That was a tough blow for us. But again, it wasn't the ref's fault. Like, we didn't play our best. And
That's our guy, Ike Taylor, who picked them too, who famously or infamously could never catch the ball, but he did catch it in the title game and then in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you could have caught that interception, though.
Very different. Listen, I want to say this about no.
This Clark is no Higgins. Hold on. That was a nice sanitized version, diplomatic. I appreciate it. Clark Higgins is offsides. Locklear reaches out to protect you, Matt, and then he gets called for the hold. And then, like you said, the next play, and it was a phantom block below the belt. That was a crazy penalty against you there. And we're not even talking about the Darryl Jackson call or anything, and the Big Ben sneak.
The Darryl Jackson one was a push-off. I mean, that's OPI. You're not allowed to extend your arm like that on the DB. That's what he did. I mean, it's a shame, but that's what happened.
Matt's being nice here.
Again, not blaming officials. But
that's what I like about 8. I talked to you, 8, in 2006, right after that game, and you were very nice about it. And I said, you're the only guy in the Seahawks organization who isn't blaming the refs. And I don't know how I said it, but you got mad at me on the air. We were on the radio together, and I don't know what I was like. Wait, I'm complimenting you, but for some reason you were wrong.
I really get mad. I mean, listen, I'll be honest. It took a little bit to get over that loss, because we really feel like we were the best team in football that year. And it was a good lesson. It doesn't matter who the best team in football is. It matters who wins the Super Bowl. You know, two teams show up and win the Super Bowl. Pittsburgh Steelers were a wild card team. They went on the road and won against good teams and got it done. And that's kind of the lesson. You saw that lesson last year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, I think after week 5 last year, they had a 5 or 6% chance of going and winning the Super Bowl. Couldn't even win their own division. And yet they win it, and everybody's picked to win it again. So it was a good lesson. You know, it just stunk. You know, we won 13 or 14 games that year, whatever it was. And we played a bad game in our first game of the year and our last game of the year. And it just it sucks. But that's what happened.
You know what also sucked? Mike Pereira jetting off to Costa Rica just minutes after the game.
That was convenient, right? Yeah. You know,
what are you, Mike Holmgren now? Sal, what are you, his progeny or something? You don't have to stand up for the Seahawks just because we're talking to eight here. But by the way, Hasselbeck, I'm curious about this because I talk about it all the time. From the time you left the league, which feels like 3 minutes ago, to now, it feels like there's been a gargantuan leap in terms of the number of quarterbacks that are pretty good and viable options. I mean, like, 6-7 years ago, I used to say, how can we not find 32 human beings in a planet of 7 billion to successfully play quarterback in pro football? Now I feel like there are at least 32 guys. And the pipeline is rich in college. Do you agree with that? Or is it the rules that now slant so heavily in favor of quarterbacks and that's what makes it appear easier? Or they're just more talented kids coming up and being taught earlier how to do it?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of different things. You got all these kids doing 7-on-7 leagues and all this kind of stuff now at a young age. I can promise you, I never did any of that stuff. I was playing tight end till I got to high school, and I only got moved because I was too skinny to block anybody. You know, so like that's something. The spread offense has like really just taken over college football, and now you've seen it come into the NFL. RPO game instead of 7-step drop back, drop back game, play action game, some of that type of stuff. You don't have to necessarily learn blitz pickup like you had to do in the Troy Aikman years, if you will, because there's a way to win with smoke and mirrors and RPO type stuff. But, you know, the rules are definitely a thing. I thought Tom Brady hit it on the head this year where he said, you know, we got to stop fining these defensive players for some of these hits and fine the quarterbacks and the quarterback coaches for telling you it's okay to throw into that tight window where you're kind of laying somebody out. But it's a lot of things. I think it's great for the game, though. Obviously, the scoring is fun. The quarterbacks are great. And there are some just unbelievably talented guys. Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, just some young talent out there that's like, I mean, I played for a long time, played with a lot of people. I don't know that I've ever played with somebody as talented as those three guys I just mentioned.
What about, aside from them, of course, they're great. But what about the crop of five that came up this year? Who excites you the most? Who do you like watching the most? Who do you think has the most promise?
Well, it's tough because like it matters so much where you get drafted and who you get drafted to. And like, are you thrown out right away? And like Zach Wilson, who's got an amazing arm, but like, is that a great situation? No, I don't think that's a great situation. You know, Mac Jones playing right away. I think it's a pretty good situation because of who's coaching him and who came before him. I thought Trey Lance had a chance because of how they were using him early. They didn't throw him to the Wolves. They were using Jimmy G, and they would bring Trey in just special red zone situations, short yardage situations, gave him kind of a small menu to choose from. And he was doing that really well. When Jimmy G got hurt and he had to play, is a disaster. You know, now you got a kid who's very, very young. I think he's 21 years old. He's played one game since he was 20. That was against Central Arkansas. You know, like that's a tough situation. Justin Fields is the guy that I thought after the preseason, wow, this guy's got tremendous upside. He could be the next Russell Wilson type guy. But that's if they don't throw him to the Wolves too soon. And unfortunately, when Andy Dalton got hurt and the media was calling for it, I thought they went to him sooner than what I would say would be ideal. And then he had one net passing yard against Cleveland and really looked like his year was just going to be a total fail, but he's turned it around. Bill Lazor's calling plays for them now. But I guess to summarize, it's more about the situation you go into than it is about the person. So we'll see.
I think we were spoiled by Herbert and Burrow, who were so good so immediately. Right. And Burrow's season was cut short, and even Tua, you know, but now it's like these five are kind of the same. And like you said, it really depends on the situation, the team.
Yeah. And Herbert didn't play right away, you know, and I'm not saying you got to sit a guy the whole year, but sitting for a month now, like week five, you go into a game plan with a 4-game breakdown, which tells you basically who the opponent is. Weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's a blind date. Like they can do whatever. They don't have to show you who they really are. And it's really hard to prepare in the first month of the season for that reason. So I kind of think of week five as that week where, all right, now it's safe to like run him out there and we can kind of understand like what atmosphere and what X's and O's we're throwing you out there for.
Right. When you're saying the situation, is it more so about the coaching staff or is it more so about the roster around it? Because like I wonder about like Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson, who first year head coach, first year offensive coordinator, and the backup quarterback is Mike White. It's not somebody who is, you know, quote unquote a mentor, so to speak, or a Trevor Lawrence who has a first year head coach, or Justin Fields as a coach who's been on the hot seat versus Bill Belichick and Mac Jones, where Bill Belichick is not going anywhere no time soon. And, you know, Mac Jones walked in day one and was competing for the job. And depending on how you feel about Cam Newton, was probably going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all of it. I go back to my rookie year, okay? My rookie year, Mike Holmgren's the coach. Brett Favre's the starting quarterback, okay? They had just been in the Super Bowl. Favre just won the MVP. Our quarterback coach is this guy named Andy Reid. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Okay. The backup quarterback is this guy, Doug Peterson. Don't know if you've ever heard of him. The backup to him is Rick Meyer. I was the fourth string quarterback. It was like the Harvard Business School for a young quarterback. They were paying me to be there. I should have been paying them to be there. Now, was I allowed to talk in the meetings? No, I wasn't allowed to talk in the meetings. I was just allowed to be in the meetings. But when those meetings would end and we would walk from the quarterback meeting room to the locker room, I would walk next to Doug Peterson. I would ask Doug Peterson all the questions that I wanted to ask if I was allowed to ask. And I did that for a year. Like that was my first experience. Had I been drafted to some other team, some random team whose coach was terrible, quarterback was selfish, they didn't have good backup quarterbacks, and you know, a staff that maybe got fired the next year or should be fired the next year, I promise you I would not have played 18 years in the NFL. I would not have been as successful as I was. I probably would have been like one and done, just grouped in with a bunch of other guys that are just labeled like loser, bust, don't have it, you know, whatever. But instead, I was in fertile soil for young quarterbacks to grow, saw what it looked like to be a championship team. My locker was across from Reggie White next to Leroy Butler. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. So some guys go to situations like that, and some guys, you know, go to situations where you're just not even sure what the plan is.
That's great.
Did you say when you walked in there,
he's got a hard out in like 40 seconds.
Oh, okay. So, I just wondered if he said like, I'm going to try out for a quarterback of the Packers and I'm going to win it.
We'll have to do another one on that story. It's a good story.
And the next one you got to tell us, hot take it real quick. Russell Wilson, who you mentioned, this is his last year in Seattle, right?
Oh, how does he hot take that real
could,
quick?
Could be.
He could say yes or no. He could say yes or no, hey, and then we say goodbye, and that's the end of it.
It's the NFL. Did we ever think that Aaron Rodgers is going to leave Green Bay abruptly next year? Like,
you're right.
Didn't see it coming. So if it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody.
Matt Hasselbeck, I look forward to Monday night as the Seattle Seahawks honor the greatest bald quarterback of all time. Congratulations. We're going to be watching, and we're excited to see you on Sundays at 10 a.m. on ESPN. Thanks for joining us, pal.
All right, guys. See ya.
He's a lot of fun. See that check?
I like him very much. He's awesome.
Didn't take the bait on the Super Bowl stuff. I mean, I won 11 in a row and lost, and I still want to blame the referees. And there wasn't one bad call last night.
You talk about 11 in a row. Dave Damashek went 11-0 betting that postseason.
That's right.
Against the number. Remember that?
Yeah.
In our spread pool.
Steelers. You had four Steelers.
Oh, I got all 11. I got all 11 of them right. And it was in our spread pool league. And I beat Seahawks fan of note, Kenny Mayne, head to head in Super Bowl 40. How about that?
There you go. Pretty good.
How about them apples?
All right. I know you have to go too, Sheck. I want to real quickly. Dodgers, they're down 3-2. A little deja vu here. Chris Taylor smacked three home runs. Braves for game six, which is Saturday, -220. I'm sorry, this is for the series. They're -220. Dodgers +184. I don't know. They're doing it small ball. They're doing it with a patchwork bullpen. It's kind of like last year. I know they have a million injuries. It's not the same team. Muncy out of the lineup is not great. But could they come back? Real quick, check. Yes or no?
Absolutely. I mean, I'd rather be down 3-1 than down 28-3 if I had to choose. Certainly, the Dodgers are really good at this. I don't buy. I don't think the Atlanta Braves, although I do say as they go back into the city of Atlanta, that's got to be the buzz. Like, this isn't going to happen to our sports town again, is it? I don't think it probably permeates the brains of the 2021 Atlanta Braves. But I do think it matters that the Dodgers, when confronted with elimination, have a knack of winning games. A lot of those guys who have been a part of those rallies are in that locker
room. 9-0 in elimination games or something.
I mean, they are down practically some of their best ball players. That's what stands in their way. But I absolutely buy it that there is a fear factor that permeates when you're up 3-1. All of a sudden, the curse is supposed to come is hanging around your neck now. Now it's 3-2. It's going to get real tight in the late innings of game six if the Dodgers have the lead.
I mean, this is exactly how it was last year when they were 1-3-1. They won the specific games, the exact breakdown of win, loss, win, however it went.
All right, I'll take the Dodgers.
Astros up 3-2 on the Red Sox. Astros minus 116 tonight. I'm taking the Red Sox. I think Eovaldi comes out here. I know he got beat up. Saw the same thing with Framil Valdez, right? He couldn't get out of like the second inning in game, was that two or one? Game two, I think. Eovaldi, we see some good stuff out of him. This game goes over somehow. All these games are going over, Martin. I don't know if you've been keeping track since that dismal loss, but it doesn't even matter that it's 2-1 in the sixth inning. They all go over. I'm taking the Red Sox and then Astros in game seven. What do you think, Martin?
I think I'm not betting baseball after I took that over. But in the association, in the National Basketball Association, I'm taking the Bulls minus 6 and the Spurs plus 7.
Wow. Well, moving on. Steph, 45 last night, guys. Warriors beat the Clippers. Is there, and I know a couple days ago I said Giannis is the MVP, but is there any doubt that Steph is the MVP right now? Discuss. I mean, come on. I'm going to do this every day for the rest of the year.
As I take leave of you all because I have a flight to catch. I have one thing to say.
Yeah.
Hail the Pit. Let's go. The biggest game in Pit since I don't know when. Now, listen, I know what you're thinking. After the big win against Virginia Tech in advance of the Final Four, this could be a trap game. This could be a trap game against Clemson. But I respect the heck out of Coach Sweeney and what he's built over there. And if our guys think they can just roll their helmets out there and get a victory, they got another thing coming. We're gonna have to play. We're gonna have to play good football to get past this Clemson Tigers team. I suspect we will on the right arm of Heisman Trophy winner to be Kenny Pickett. Hail the Pit.
Go to a check jump. And I'm going to get real quick, Martin, I'm putting it at minus 180. That check does not have TSA pre-check. What do you think?
Nope.
I was about to take the yes as well. There's no chance.
Excellent.
Bets that win, and that one definitely is going to win.
Oh, the nervous sweats, I can assure you, have already begun.
Go to. I don't want you to miss your flight. Go ahead, check. Minus 3.
Listen, you kind of do. You kind of do, though. It'd be funny a little bit.
Of course. All right. Go miss your flight.
Bye, fellas.
See ya. Martin, let's talk real quick, though. The remainder of the top 75 list was revealed. And by the way, Bill Simmons was right. They should have just had the 50 that they did a few years ago and then added 25. Like, we know the 50 aren't going to be out of there, right? Like, no one's going to drop out of the 50. They're not going to go from 50 to 76, right? But anyway, they were revealed. I don't like Rodman in there over Dwight Howard, Vince Carter, Dikembe. You know, I think they're all better than Dennis Rodman, who was a one-dimensional player. Great. Fascinating to watch. Definitely a cog in the title runs for those Bulls teams. Tony Parker's not better than Dennis Rodman. What do you think?
Well, see, all these lists and all this, I don't really care about, but the idea that Dwight Howard's not a top 75 NBA player of all time is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, it was 2012. I was in college. My phone died because I was in a Twitter argument at that moment in 2012 saying Dwight Howard was a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Wow.
In 2012. It's now 2021, and I understand he's had, you know, these are like the tack-on years of his career. He got a ring with LeBron last year. Like, and I just – people don't like him because he eats all the candy. He's got a million kids, and he's just a big child. But, like, the idea that Dwight Howard – hasn't been one of the most impactful basketball players in the last 20 years of the NBA and one of the best 75 in its history, to me, is absurd.
But whatever, if you want to keep him out because he's a big child, that's fine. But then you can't put Dennis Rodman in. Like, what's the psychology behind that, right? Yeah. If it's, I don't know.
It's just, you know what, I feel like everybody who's over the age of like 40 and watched Jordan and like if they're super into the Jordan LeBron thing, nobody that ever did anything with Jordan could have done anything wrong. Right. Everything was all. And if it was anything that was wrong, it was only set up so that way Michael Jordan could then overcome it because, you know, he is Superman.
Right. I think you're right. I think there's a little skip leading in there. But I think you're right for sure. If you had that connection, you were great, which is why our guy Jack Haley was 76th on the league on the list.
Actually, 77th, right? Because I think there was a tie for 75th, which to me, like, because Damian Lillard was tied for 70. I heard on TV that somebody said they thought Damian Lillard was the guy who was the tie, and that's where I just that from. But how lame is that? It's the 75th year. What do you mean? Just cut somebody off the list. Make it as list of 75. Like, where's your conviction, NBA?
Yeah, bring Lillard back in it next year when it's 76 years. Maybe that's the thing. They just add somebody every year. That'd be fun to do. All right, Lemon Pepper Parlay. You and TJ really break it down. Lots of fun. You have your Lemon Pepper Parlays of the week. You can catch that on the Extra Points Pod social channel.
Real quick, Sal, not to cut you off, but we do that on Tuesdays. And if you're like me and you like the Tennessee Titans, you would have got 5.5 like I did on Tuesday. On Friday, you got 4.5.
There you go. That's what's called value. And there's a lot of value in free stuff, I'm told. ExtraPoints.com/arcade. We have a pick'em contest, college, pro, got baseball up there. Whatever you want to do. Who doesn't like an arcade, Martin? ExtraPoints.com/arcade against all odds. Check that out. Me and the Degenerate Trifecta. The Degenerate Trifecta and I should say. I think that's what it is. We pick the Saturday and Sunday games as we see them. And just a reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like an underdog, but please remember, you're all my favorites. See you next week.